The Rustic Tulip is a like-minded Christian company that crafts beautiful, handmade wooden items, including cutting boards, cheese boards, bread knives, utensils, and more. Each piece combines timeless craftsmanship with natural beauty, offering functional art for your home. My favorite. Their pieces can also be customized, which makes for the perfect gift for any homemaker. You can find them at rustic.tulip on Instagram or rustictulipco.com. They're offering us a coupon code this month, so enter Fruitful for 15% off discount at the checkout. A couple of their items that I have that I really, really love is their bread knife. It is a beautiful stained wood, and it's perfect for cutting my sourdough, and it's so beautiful. It has sparks engraved in the handle, and I hang it on my wall and grab it anytime that I need to cut our sourdough bread, and it's just lovely, and I imagine it being one of those pieces handed down to Providence. And then another tool that I have that I didn't even know I needed until I saw it is their toaster tongs. They're little wooden tongs that perfectly fit down in the toaster slot for whenever your toast just will not pop out. So those have been much used, and I recommend them both to you. Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks, and I'm here with the whole crew. How are you guys?
Good.
I feel weird. Like, should I say your name every time? I feel like everyone gets it now, maybe.
You feel like,
okay, I'm not going to say your names. If you don't know, you don't get to know.
Go back episode. So.
But we're at Becky's house right now, and we have a Galentine's party tonight at our friend's. So we're going to go and have a little Valentine get together tonight. I made cookies and chocolate covered strawberries.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. But I broke the rules because everyone was supposed to bring a soup. Because we're doing like a soup flight.
Sweaters.
Soups and sweaters. Yeah. I just noticed you guys have cute sweaters on. Look how Valentine-y that was. I only wear the sweater on Valentine's Day. I've had it for many years and I only wear it on Valentine's Day.
It's very cute. You should.
I'm not a pink person. I don't wear a lot of pink in my life, but yeah. I have a pink thrifted sweater on, Brie. You can't know because the Zoom video is not working. I'll send you a picture.
Please do. I feel left out.
Yeah, Bree's at her house, but the rest of us are over at Becky's. Soup flights. That's what I was going to say. Everybody's bringing soups, and we had to bring muffin tins to put our soup, little soup cups and stuff in. So it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. My muffin tin is not very presentable, and I texted JC like a month ago. I should say this. I was like, I'm feeling bad about my muffin tin. The other people are going to look at it and judge me. I really don't wash my muffin tin that much. I just put the reusable baking cups in it. So I'm like, why?
A bunch of like whale sauce.
Yes.
Tall. Like it doesn't
matter. A little bit of burnt egg. Because I make egg bites a lot in it.
When I made the sheet cake for the potluck in church a few weeks ago, I felt that way about my sheet pan. Because I only use my cookie sheet for baking cookies, or if I'm doing one of those like roasted sheet pan meals where there's a lot of olive oil involved,
yeah,
and it's gonna get trashed anyway, so it's clean, but there's all kinds of little burn marks on it. And I found myself with stainless steel wool like
scrubbing.
I was like, please no one judge my pan. I thought, no, yeah, this is silly.
My Dutch ovens, I have two of them, like a bigger one and a smaller one that I bake my sourdough in, and they are really, really bad looking, just covered in burnt on, I guess it's oil, but there's not oil in my sourdough, so I don't know why. I don't know what that is burnt on them, but I find it completely pointless to scrub it off. Why? It was just going to happen again.
Yeah.
So it's okay. We will settle for things not looking pretty anymore.
We won't judge
very much.
We'll let
it. But we're talking about productivity in the home today, so I guess I just have better things to be productive on than scrubbing my Dutch ovens. So, okay. We can just dive right in. So housework is never done. And I think whenever you have a mindset of like a 9-to-5 job, it can feel frustrating or discouraging because there's not that end point where you can say the papers are graded, check, or this wall is built, check. And there's never that point in housework. It is a marathon that, Lord willing, you will be doing forever. You will be having a husband, hopefully, your whole life. You will be being a parent, hopefully, your whole life. Even when your children are grown, you're still a parent and you'll still be in their life in some way, hopefully. So it is this ongoing marathon of a job that if you don't have the right train of thought when it comes to the work that you're doing in the home, it can sometimes be frustrating. So I thought that it might be helpful to have a discussion about productivity in the home and what it looks like for all of us and how we remain cheerful in our productivity and what some practical tips are maybe at the end. So any initial thoughts whenever this is how we do episodes, I'll just say, let's do one on productivity in the home. No defining parameters for it or anything like that. And then we're just like, all right, let's do it. No details at all. Just what do you think about that?
It's funny that you said there's no defining parameters. My first note on here is define productive. So when I was thinking through, okay, what is productivity in the home? What does that look like? You know, all those things. The first thing that I had was productivity in the home is more than a mere checklist. And you have to define, okay, what does productivity mean? Because sometimes we think, oh, it's a checklist. It means we have all of these things we're going to do and we have accomplished all of those tasks. But the definition of productive that I found was producing or able to produce large amounts of goods, crops, or other commodities. And the synonym was fruitful. So being productive in your home means that you are being fruitful or bearing good fruit. So in order to, you know, bear good fruit, you have to think about, what kind of fruit do I want out of my home? Do I want my home to be spotless all the time? Okay, well, then there's your target to aim for, which I don't agree with. But so when you're thinking about what productivity in your home is, you have to list out, what are the goals for my home? Is my goal to have healthy children? Then cooking healthy meals is productive. Is your goal having children who love the Lord? Then spending time praying over and with them is productive. So when you're thinking about what is productivity in the home, what does that look like? You have to think about, what does that mean for you and for your home, not just getting all the things done? Because like you said, they're never done. All things are never done.
Yeah, that's something that I noted, that we should view productivity as fruitfulness, that we should strive for fruitfulness more than we should strive for anything else. Like, God, help me to be fruitful. And fruit comes in seasons. And sometimes it's winter and it doesn't look like the tree is doing anything. And sometimes it looks like the tree is dead. And and Jared and I have had funny conversations about this, that sometimes in the winter I'll be like, oh, that tree died. And I'm like, it's not dead. It's winter.
Sleeping.
Don't give up on it. It's sleeping. Yeah, leave it alone. And he'll be like, I think it's dead. It's not going to come back. And then spring, look, it's back. It, well, I told you it was alive. But yeah, sometimes it's winter and there's not a lot happening from the outside if you're looking at that tree in the wintertime. But then spring comes and then there's a bud and then there's a flower and then there's fruit and then there's like so much fruit. So being content with the season that you're in and letting God define what fruit or what productivity is happening in that season is very, very important, because you might be in a winter season where you don't have baskets full of outward fruit, but God is doing a really big work inside and you have to trust what he's doing. So when we're talking about productivity throughout this episode, if you are in a cold season, don't be discouraged. If you're maybe in a hibernation of sorts, that God could still be working. And this is a very intentional season and it's not on accident, but this is part of your fruitfulness.
And that winter season is necessary. It's not for no reason. That was a terrible sentence, but there is a purpose behind that hibernation. And there's a purpose behind that. Like you said, it's
not. And you know what's super frustrating? Trying to make an apple tree produce apples in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stop it. That's not what God's doing right now. And you're just going to be really angry and frustrated if you just keep trying to grow apples and it's really cold and snowy outside.
Or if you're trying to grow the wrong kind of fruit off the wrong tree.
Yeah.
You're trying.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. It's good.
You have to ask the Lord, what kind of fruit are you growing in this season and on my tree rather than what your neighbor's doing?
Yeah.
Becky, you talked about, I don't normally listen to the podcast that I'm on the podcast for. Every now and again, I will go. But if I'm on it, I typically don't go back and listen to it. But Becky, I did listen to the ones I noticed that you did two on your own, right? Or you did one on your own.
I did two.
Correct?
And on organizing and one on cleaning. We broke it into two parts.
Was the cleaning one already out?
Yes. I think that came out last week. Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to look. Well, I noticed now that that you can like read the podcasts on Apple Podcasts. I don't know how long that's been a thing, but I read yours because I don't listen to a lot of podcasts right now, speaking of seasons in this season, but I read it. So yeah, if you guys haven't caught Becky's on Fruitful and Fearless, go back. I read the first one. I need to go and catch the second one, but you talked about the scripture of the talents in that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I was thinking about that along the lines with productivity. And like you guys are saying, the Bible pretty much defines that as fruitfulness. And I was thinking about true productivity. So productivity for the Christian versus productivity for the world, I was thinking is a bit more resourceful. And it's also slower. Like it's not as fast necessarily that a truly productive person doesn't really fake their fruit. Because I think worldly productivity apart from Christ, you can kind of fake it for a while. Like you can go, okay, so like here's a practical example. I'm trying to get these words out. You can go to Walmart and buy a tomato plant, right? That's already starting to grow. Or you could start from the seeds up and plant that tomato plant. And I think what God calls us to do in a faithful way, in a fruitful way, is to take what he has already given us. Like you're saying, you can't make an apple tree produce in the winter. You can't make an apple tree produce, or you can't make a apple tree produce peaches, you know, something like that. So taking what the Lord has already given you and planting that, kind of like the talents. If he's given you that one talent or that two talent, take it, and he multiplies through your faithfulness. So when you're obedient to him and you tend to the plant, you take care of the plant, he multiplies it, right? So like you can plant a bunch of seeds and some of them are going to do good, some of them are going to do bad. God determines that, but you take care of all of them, kind of deal. You're faithful with all of them. That was where my thought or my brain was going, and I thought it went right along line with like what you guys were saying.
Yeah.
And along the lines with your last podcast too.
I think it's important too, when we're looking at what productivity looks like in our own home, to kind of ask ourselves questions in each season, because especially if you're a mom, your seasons change constantly. And so asking ourselves, what is our purpose, large scale, and that never changes. If you're a Christian, you're glorifying God and you're working as unto the Lord, and that never changes. But then like each season, you're serving, your purpose kind of fleshes out a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. So like we're not homeschooling a ton yet, so that's not a huge priority for me. We do things on Fridays for co-op, but other than that, I have a lot of other priorities with my toddler. And one thing that I've had to ask myself is, what is my attitude toward my work, especially in times of sickness or pregnancy or when I'm exhausted? What's my attitude toward what I'm doing, whether it's cleaning the toilet, whether it's playing Play-Doh with Audrey or cooking and cleaning? Am I doing it with a thankful heart, or am I kind of irritated because I want to go read my book right now? And so in some days it's easy for me to be cheerful, and then other days it's not. And I think that's the same for everybody. But some days I have to force myself to remind myself of scripture and get the job done and be cheerful about it. And it's more of like a, I will be cheerful today. Mm-hmm. And reminding myself of my purpose and what I'm here for. And then on a practical level, I have a child and I have to be the best mom possible. And I find that I have to kind of revert to that off and on, especially if I'm not feeling well or if, I don't know, I'm tired. And then also something that I've had to ask quite a bit as I was transitioning from a full-time job outside of the home and full-time school outside of the home to a full-time homemaker, like full-time mom at home, who am I doing the work for? Because when I had a 9-to-5, my priority, I mean,
for most of the day was not my kid. It wasn't my home because I wasn't there. So when I shifted to being home full time or mostly home full time, I had to really evaluate, because I used to love posting on Facebook and I loved like updating people on what we were doing. And selfishly, a lot of it was like, look what's happening in our life and look what I'm doing. And, you know, just a lot of, it was just a lot of things that I had to work through. And a couple episodes back, I talked about that, wasn't it in our New Year's episode, I think?
Maybe.
We talked about coming home and going through a lot of just shift and that kind of thing, which was all good. But a lot of, and now I'm more settled in everything, but it's, but I had to ask myself a lot, who am I doing this for? Because I'm not playing Play-Doh with my kids so I can post it on Instagram.
Right. Right.
You know, and if I am, that's a problem.
Right.
So I think those are helpful questions to ask, and we can ask them often, and we can write them down if we need to. And I wrote down, I wish it would have been great if I would have written down where it was in the Bible, but I wrote down the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. So it stuck with me because of the word diligent. So the plans of the diligent lead to abundance. And we can't be diligent in our work if we're not planning on things happening.
Yeah.
If we don't have a plan, not that all of us have to have to-do lists. I love a to-do list, but it's nice to check things off and remember.
Yeah.
But we have to have some sort of a plan for our work. So plan for homeschooling, plan for our day, plan for the week. And if we don't plan and we don't have goals for our kids, for ourselves, for things that we need to accomplish in our work, then it's easy to get distracted by all the good things that we could do. And kind of, I think it's easy, you know, it's been easy for me, especially in the past, to schedule ourselves so much. And then I'm losing productivity in the home because we're not home.
Yes.
And I know that we've all at this table.
I don't want to interrupt.
And online like, gone through.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am big about like, you have to be at home
to
be able to be productive at home. And I find in myself that in seasons that I am overwhelmed, it's because I'm not home enough. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not home, I can't do the things that I need to be doing. And I'm doing too many things outside of the home that takes away from the stuff that I need to be doing. So to kind of bounce off what you're saying. So being a homemaker, it needs to be this continual chugging along that you're constantly in motion, constantly doing stuff other than on your day of rest. And we're going to do another episode on rest. So that will be the one after this episode. So more to come on that. So if you're feeling like this is heavy on work and light on rest, just know that the rest episode is coming next. But yeah, we have this continual plugging along. And to keep home, it means that you're actually working really hard. If you feel like this is so much work, you're doing it right. It just really is. It's so much work. And I think the problem is we feel like that we're doing something wrong because it's so much work, because we've been so catechized by culture to think that a homemaker's job is brainless and dull and it just sucks the life out of her and she's like a lazy zombie. And that's just not how it is. It's actually really, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of brain power and intentionality and diligence. And if we just go ahead and let go of what the world says about it and accept the fact that it actually is really hard work, I think that's step one to feeling a lot better about what you're doing. Yeah. Just accept it's super hard work and it's very tiring because it's a lot of work. And I think I said at the cleaning thing, like, you need to be crushing it like 24. I think I said 24/7, but I am 24/6. You need to be crushing it like 24/6 to be able to get everything done. And it's a total misconception that that's not the case, that it's actually a lot more leisure time.
Yeah.
And although we are like one of the only last leisure classes in the world, this is like the homemaker. She actually does have time to read and enjoy life. Praise God for that. But even in my reading, that's a time of productivity for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm teaching the children to be readers, I'm refueling my body in times that I'm sitting and reading. So even in your times of leisure, it should be filled with productivity in some way. So thinking even of your afternoon, like our quiet rest time or nap for some and quiet rest for others in our home, even that is a time of me being productive in some manner.
That's a good point. I think also us as a culture, the United States, we are, I've seen some, you know, some Instagram's interesting because you have a whole host of people that are really concerned about idolizing work. And we aren't doing that in America. Mm-mm. Americans are not idolizing work by and large.
Right.
They're idolizing rest and not the productive rest. It's the like, well, I need the me time all the time and I need to serve my, it's very like self-serving rest. And that's not a bad thing to ask yourself. Am I idolizing parts of my work or am I,
sure,
you know, I mean, I think that's a good question to ask, but I've seen some things on Instagram recently that are homemakers or people that are like, we can't idolize our work, but I don't think a lot of people are idolizing their work. If anything, I think our culture idolizes unproductive rest.
Right.
So.
Right. I think that there is like this big area of people who are probably just like kind of lazy, slothful perhaps. And I think that that's far more the temptation than being a workaholic in the home. Although my personal temptation is I'm very type A personality and I liked my house to be clean and I like the meals to be homemade and I like my kids to be taken care of and clothed and neat and tidy and hairs cut.
All of
like all the hairs and the fingernails cut. So I am. That is my temptation. Although I don't know if that's, maybe it is more common. That, what are your guys' temptation? Do you feel like your temptation is more towards type A overproductive to the point that you are a little hard on yourself? Or do you think your temptation is more towards sloth? Just to be completely honest. What is y'all's temptation? I just told mine. So
I'm definitely more type A.
Yeah. Okay.
And for me, some of that is just the way I'm hardwired. Some of it was environment growing up, but I feel guilty sitting down and yes, doing anything.
That's what I told you. I can share this before.
Brandon has to get on with me so many times. When we were first married, he would sit down in the evening. And I was like,
how dare you enjoy,
what is
your
he
life?
Doing enjoying the home that I've made? Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm thinking, we've got this to do. And even in our little two bedroom, you know, 600 square foot apartment, you know, I still had things to do because there's always things to do. I can always create work for myself. Yeah. It doesn't mean that I'm using my time wisely to do all of those things in one day.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to talk to me several times to be like, it really is okay if you sit down.
Yeah.
Like it's okay. And I would actually enjoy it if you came and hung out with me.
Yeah.
In the evening.
And saw that as productive for our marriage.
Yes. Right? Mm-hmm. Yes. So for me, my biggest hurdle is seeing what is productivity truly. Because it's not just the checklist.
Yeah.
Sitting down and reading a book with a child is productive.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Or sitting down, and this is where you, Jordan, and my older sister, Kathy, had to hammer into my brain for years that reading fiction is productive, which is hilarious because I have a teaching background and reading was always my favorite thing to teach. I love children's stories. I teach story time at our homeschool co-op because I love children's literature and I see the value in that. But for me as a grown-up, I'm going, well, that's for children.
Mm-hmm.
That's not for grown-ups. I need to read fiction. I need to learn. I need to be doing something while I'm sitting, you know.
I'm reading my favorite fiction ever right now. And I just want to go in that rabbit hole, but I'm not too.
Sorry. Go ahead. Okay. Well, now I have to know.
So
put a pin in that.
Okay.
When I hear it later. But learning that I can also learn really great things from fiction books and it's not good health-wise or, you know, emotionally, mentally, physically to just run yourself completely into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where I think structuring your day, having a plan for your day, which now you guys know, I like having a plan. I like order, things like that, but it truly does make a night and day difference. There have been seasons where I've said, caution to the wind, I don't need a plan. And those are by far not just winter seasons, they're unproductive.
Right.
Times that could be fruitful, could be productive. And I'm choosing to not be productive because I'm choosing to not have a plan. And really it comes down to just being unwise.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I definitely though lean more towards.
Me too. So I put a little note for this ditch, I guess. Be gentle with yourself and others. So if you are the type A personality, then be gentle with yourself and others. Have a gentle chugging along that you do, that you know that you are human
and your people are human. So be watchful over yourself in that area of temptation and let them live. Let you live and let them enjoy their life and let you enjoy your life too. I even put on here, like, sit with your husband.
Yeah.
Enjoy life. Drink a cup of tea. Enjoy work. Instead of seeing yourself as a slave to the work, enjoy work in this very ecclesiastical view of there's joy in the toil that is tethered to Christ. So we have all this toil that we have to be doing 6 days a week. Find joy in that when it's tethered to Christ. When you're working as an unto the Lord, it can be this beautiful, almost dance of a homemaker. And this is my home, and I am going to enjoy what I have to do in it. So that's my word to the type A. If you strive more towards the overproductive, never can stop, that kind of thing.
And as we were talking about all these really beautiful garden analogies, which makes me really happy, but one thing that came into my mind was the attitude. Okay, I think this is when you were talking. The attitude that we have is also being productive in some way, shape, or form. So if we are joyfully going about our work, that's sowing seeds of joy all throughout our home in the hearts of our children. Mm-hmm. If we're going about, because you can be a homemaker in a really spiteful, negative, really unpleasant way.
That you're actually tearing.
That you're tearing your own. Yes. You really are. You're tearing down your house with your own hands. You're tearing down the hearts of your children with your own hands and with your words. Or you can build up your home with your words. You can build up your children with your words and with your attitude. So if you can do the dishes and be productive in that way, right? You can get the dishes clean, check it off the list. And you can do it in two ways. You can do it with a fussy heart and in a way that makes everybody feel like they're sitting on eggshells in your home. They don't know when you're going to explode next. They don't know, you know, you can have that kind of approach to it. Or you can do your dishes while singing a song or praying over your home or praying for someone who texted you that day or what have you. And sow peace in your home and sow joy in your home and attitudes of cheerfulness and thankfulness as well. So you can sow a lot of different things, even just with your attitude, and be productive in that way too.
Yeah. Okay, Bree, what's yours? What's your temptation?
My temptation is definitely to go, 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 be productive, not go, go, go outside of my home, but in my home, to not sit, to not rest. But the Lord thankfully has been shifting that over the course of the last few years. And I've realized that I need to work from a place of rest. And while I agree that we have that really mixed up in our society and probably in the U.S. at large, I think when I say rest, I don't mean specifically like sitting down, propping your feet up. And I don't necessarily even mean like Sabbath, which I think that's important. And I know we're going to have a whole episode on rest. I mean more so of like a peace in your heart, a rest, like an inner rest. So to work out from that, I definitely don't have that down pat because I tend to be the type A, at least in that situation. I'm probably type B in some areas, but I do not go towards slothfulness in the home at all. I can, like my mom, she's been staying with me because she's been pretty ill, and she's lived with us for like a couple weeks. And she said, "You run a pretty tight ship." She said, "You're kind of like a sergeant," because her dad was a sergeant major. And I was like, "Well, you have to." My sister was over and she said that. She's like, "Well, Mom, look at all the kids she has. She has to do that." So that's definitely my tendency. But I've been trying really hard over the course of the last few years to not be a Martha, not fall into that, and to I guess, evaluate more what is true productivity, which I think you guys have defined that well, fruitfulness. And that means keeping our minds on the eternal things. And we've talked about this in episodes before. That really means like moment by moment fruitfulness. Productivity might actually be, like you said, Jordan, sitting down and reading, you know, teaching your kids how to read, or productivity might be getting up and doing the dishes. So it goes moment by moment and house by house. And I think it's good for me to just remember that I'm not serving myself. And I think that is where definitely our economy and our society gets it wrong, because I don't know, when you were talking about, you know, where we tend to land, like, do we tend to be more workaholics in the U.S. or do we tend to be more slothful. I think, I'm sure, who can say for sure which one it is, but I think the main problem is we're so self-focused that our productivity, our aim is to serve ourselves instead of to serve the Lord. And so, you know, you can find yourself just binging on Instagram or really running a tight ship in your home, but both can be really unfaithful and unproductive if your aim isn't to serve the Lord in those. So yeah, I'm definitely, let's keep this house clean, kids.
And I think part of what, I probably didn't phrase it super well, but a lot of what I see on social media is people complaining about feeling like they don't have direction. So they feel like they are in this rut of like scrolling, or they don't know what to do with their kids when they're home with them, or they don't know how to homeschool, or they don't know how to be productive. And so I've seen so many comments in like Christian women's groups that I'm in of women that are like, can you recommend books on phone addiction? Can you recommend books on how to, you know, just to sum it up, like be a productive wife and mom? And I think because so many women have bought into the feminist lie that to be productive, you have to have a 9-to-5 outside of your home, it has damaged a whole generation, if not multiple, of women. Because I used to, I guess I also lean type A. I would work so hard and overschedule myself so much and do so much. I mean, I was in school from you know, kindergarten up until 2023, like no breaks. And it was full time, you know, no stopping, and then working full time from age 22 on. And I had so many intense periods of illness and burnout and sickness and blood pressure and just all kinds of things that were incredibly damaging mentally, physically. And I did it to myself, but it was this, I just very much idolized my life away from the home. Mm-hmm. And that's what it came down to. But I think there's this whole, there are people that fall in that ditch of idolizing work, truly idolizing, like I need to be productive to the point of to the detriment of myself and the detriment of others. And a lot of people probably don't realize it, but I don't really know that many people that are type A and also truly idolize work for decades, where they just think of little else. I think if you have a healthy view of hard work, you're probably mature enough to realize how to handle the work, or at least reevaluate and listen to other people as they speak into your life and speak into your schedule. And Bree, like you were saying, I think, well, I guess this is just what came to mind, that as you were kind of talking about coming from a place of rest, one thing that changed for me, and I had to do a lot of work to get to the place where I realized this was a huge piece of my day, is I have to start my morning with the Lord, no matter what's going on around me. I mean, there have been days where it just doesn't happen. But for me, I can't do my time in the Bible with the Lord at the end of the day. And that's when it, you know, starts for me. It has to start in the morning, because my brain, or, you know, you wake up and your brain is just, and it'll do that all day if you don't take the time. And in Mark, we see that Jesus rose, it said, a great while before the day to convene with the Lord, or convene with his Father. And we see the psalmist say in the morning, thou shalt hear my voice. So there's a biblical precedence for waking up and setting you with the Lord.
That the Proverbs 31 woman gets up before the sun is up.
Yeah.
She's up while it's still dark. And sometimes you have to do that. I mean, I think that's pretty common to have to do that, especially if you have little kids, if you want to have time with the Lord, or give a little extra time of productivity in the morning to get up when it's dark. And I think about that a lot when I'm going out into my kitchen, it's like dark outside, I'm turning on little lights. Okay, that's, this is common.
Like magical, though.
Women throughout history have been doing this. Have been lighting a candle early in the morning to get a little time before the kids wake up.
You have to plan that.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't just happen most of the time. Most of us aren't waking up hours before the kids on accident.
Right.
You know,
the thing is, sometimes healthy rhythms start to happen over time.
Yeah.
Where it is just natural to you.
Yeah.
Rather than something that you really have to schedule for. So I think starting now, if you're like, I have not been productive in the home, I have actually been slothful, and I want to make steps towards a more productive life at home, then start doing it now and know that you're in this for the decades, not for the days or weeks ahead, but like, no, I'm in this for the decades and I want to wake up earlier, whatever it is for you. I want to have a cleaning schedule, or I want my laundry to not pile up on top of us. Then make steps now and then just don't stop. Like, okay, this is something I'm going to be doing until I'm dead, so I'm just going to be faithful with it. And know that it will be more natural in the years to follow. I don't set an alarm in my life, but I usually am up before the sun is up, just because the rhythm of our life now has been so consistent with going to bed early and waking up early that now it's just what we do.
I want to say it's Rachel Jankovic that says, or talks about anyway, it faithfulness being little acts of obedience over time that build up. And so if you are coming from a place, because we've talked about type A a lot, well, okay, let's talk about that other side of, but what if that's not natural to you?
Yeah.
And what if you do struggle in that area? Then my encouragement to you would be, like you said, be gentle, right? Don't decide, okay, this is not how, if you know that's your lane to be more on the slothful side, don't say tomorrow, I'm waking up at 5 a.m. We're going to have this and this and everything's going to be in order tomorrow. Choose one area. Think about, take some time, sit back and say, okay, what are the goals for our home? What do I need to be aiming my efforts at? And what does that look like practically? Do a time inventory of your day where you sit down and you list out hour by hour, what are you doing now? And sometimes when you look at it, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm spending 3 hours on Instagram, or I'm spending, 2 hours watching TV. Or, when you see those numbers on a page, you can say, oh, and view it almost like a time budget where you can say, wait, I need to reallocate this time that I'm spending here and direct it over here because this is wasted time. So do one of those where you kind of do a time inventory, see how are you spending your days on paper, look at what you would like it to be, and then pick one thing to start with. Maybe that means you get up at 5 a.m. tomorrow. And maybe in a little while, once that's a good routine for you, maybe that means that you aim to get 2 loads of laundry done every day. Don't try to do all of the things at one time because you'll end up burnt out, overwhelmed, and then you'll just flop.
And here's the thing though, either of these ditches could require some serious repentance. So if you are being slothful in the home, seriously evaluate. Like, are you more self-focused than you are serving your family to the point that you don't have laundry? Like, the kids are no longer in clean underwear, like, or whatever is happening. Like, it might be a time of reflection and repentance. And that is a wonderful thing. Don't be scared of that. Don't let that intimidate you. But see the sweetness in that. There's a scripture in Hebrews that I always really like about the discipline of the Lord proves to us that we are his children. And if this episode is making you feel convicted, praise God for that, because that is a reminder that we are his children. Whenever we feel that conviction, it's like, oh, that is God working on my heart. And it's okay to feel conviction. That's a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. Be quick to repent and quick to change.
One thought on that too is, when you repent, it's important, obviously, first and foremost, repent to the Lord, right? Repent to the Lord. If you're married, repent to your husband. Ask him to pray over you, to help you with that. I would also say, make sure that you, Jordan, you say it this way, tell on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you are truly struggling with this and you feel like repentance is what needs to happen, find a friend and say, I need to tell on myself.
Yeah.
I am out of line here. God's convicted me on this. He's called me out on this. And I need somebody else to know that I'm struggling here. Jordan, you've done that to me. And I know I've done that to you. And Kate and Bree, I've tattled on myself to you too. But it's really helpful just to know. Even if I'm not texting one of you every day about whatever it is, just to know, Jordan knows that I'm having a hard time with
this. She will eventually
be like, hey, how are you doing over there? What are you doing over there? Yeah. And it's just helpful to know. And sometimes too, just bringing that sin out of the darkness, out of the shadows and into the light and saying, nope, I'm not going to hide in this. I'm not going to let this be, a little pet sin that I hang on to that nobody knows about. I'm going to shed light on it. And it's not as scary as it sounds. nobody's going to openly rebuke you in front of the church, probably, you know. But it really is freeing to actually repent of that verbally to somebody.
And bring it to someone who can help you too. Like, so obviously we have a lot of type A personalities on here. It sounds like we're all type A in the productive realm, at least. But if you are more of a slothful person in the home, go to a fellow woman who you know is keeping her home well. And maybe just maybe you guys can even help each other out. Maybe you can help her be less, I don't know how you would put it, but maybe you can help her chill a little bit, and maybe vice versa. The other one can help you come up to speed a little bit. Chances are they both have advice and ideas to help the other. And then also, don't carry shame around it. If you have repented truly and you're truly seeking the Lord in that, don't then carry unnecessary shame, because then that can just spiral you down even further, you know. Because I think there is a time too where we need to acknowledge our limits and then kind of set boundaries within that. Like, for example, because I am more type A, I always loved waking up before my kids, or at least being awake before my kids for like 30 minutes, even, you know, just long enough to get myself together, get my mind where it needed to be, spend time with the Lord, maybe get some stuff going. But now, over the course of the year, with like, not, it's been like this for a while with health issues, but now most of the time, one of my kids is waking up with me. Most of the time, I actually don't get up before them. And that was really difficult for me, and still is really difficult for me sometimes. But it is not an excuse to not be with the Lord. Like Kate said, you should do it every day. There's never an excuse. I will just say 100%. There's never an excuse to not start your day with the Lord. And that doesn't mean you have to read your Bible even. You can pray. You can recite scripture to yourself. You can listen to the Bible. Doesn't mean you have to spend an hour devoted with coffee, even though I think that's great if you can do that. But there is never a day that you cannot wake up and be in the Lord's presence. So, and that doesn't matter if a kid crawls in your bed or, you know, whatever. But yeah, I'm kind of going on a tangent now.
Yeah, spending time with the Lord can just be those little prayers in desperation, even. Like, Lord, please help me.
I was going to say, there are a lot of warnings, too. If you have little kids and they see you opening your Bible, they will do the same.
Well, yeah. Well,
so, like, Audrey will go grab her little Bible and she'll sit and read with me. Mm-hmm. And then she'll ask for stories, and she knows stories in her Bible, and she'll look at pictures and, you know, tell me all the stories. And chaos can be abounding around you. Or a little kid can be sitting next to you and you can still get through the, you know, the verse of the day or whatever prayer and a couple of verses or chapter.
I was just going to say, it's a great time to read out loud to them. Be like, hey, I read you. This is what I'm reading.
Yeah.
I giggled.
We start our morning with Bible and prayer with the kids. And then
that happened with Jack, where I was reading in Judges.
Oh.
And he came downstairs and found me reading. He was, hey, Mama, can you read me that? I was like, okay, just chopping up a concubine. Here.
Hello, man, what's a concubine?
Yeah.
Can you define concubine?
I will tell you about that when you're a little older. But there are, it is really funny when they sit down. Like, sometimes it's, you know, you're reading the Psalms or Proverbs, yeah, and you're like, oh, this is great. They're going to get so much out of this. And they're like, wait, what was that name?
Yeah.
How many children did they have? Yeah. How many? What? It'll be Gat who? What does the Gat mean?
So. Okay, so word to the sloth then. How about we say word of the sloth? So if it isn't your rest day, then be cautious of being overly idle. If there is work to be done, you should get up and do it. Honestly, like, it's your job. You're the manager of the home. And if there's stuff to do, don't wait for someone else to do it, or don't wait for tomorrow. If you have work to be done today, do it today. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and poverty comes like a robber. Want comes like an armed man. There's so many warnings in Proverbs. Be like the ant. Do the things that need to be done. And if the phone is a temptation for you, then it's actually a very simple solution. Get rid of your phone. It's actually very simple. And people just don't want to do it. They're like, oh, I can't live without a phone. Like, honestly, there are many solutions. If if it's better to go into heaven with one eyeball or one hand, like, it's pretty simple. If your phone is a temptation for you in any way, shape, form, or fashion, get a landline. Or get a dumb phone.
Or get rid of social media.
Get rid of social media. Like,
I think it is for a lot of people to just scroll and scroll and just get rid of social media.
Yeah. If TV is a temptation for you, if you're like binging TV shows rather than doing the laundry, get rid of your TV. Or get some solutions that aren't super hard, but you don't want to do them.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes we don't want to do them because they're fine.
Yeah.
If it hurts to be cut off, chances are, you know,
it needs to go.
Okay, so let's go through some productivity tips from each of us. So for me, I do like a to-do list, although you can't be a slave to the to-do list. This is what I've been doing this probably year or so, and it's been really helpful for me. I used to do a to-do list, and it would just, like, stress me out because I felt like it was a daily to-do list. Like, I didn't get all this stuff done in a day. And instead, I've just been having a ongoing to-do list. And it may be like spackle that hole in the wall downstairs where I moved a picture. And it's just, if I have a time that my other stuff is done, then I go to the to-do list. And it's surprising how many little things that I can actually get done just by randomly going to the to-do list and grabbing something out. Or like, I have bathroom vanities that are up off the ground. And whenever I sweep, my sweeper thing doesn't reach under there well. And so in my mind, I'm like, I need to sweep under the vanity. And that goes on my to-do list because it doesn't naturally happen as I'm sweeping the floors. So then in a random time, I'll go and like sweep and wipe under. Yeah, little things like that goes on my to-do list. And it's just things that can take 30 seconds, but it's just not going to happen naturally. So ongoing to-do lists is one of mine. Next.
Are we just doing one at a time, or are we doing all of our tips?
Let's do one at a time. Let's do like rapid fire one at a time.
Okay. So on the to-do list, I have an ongoing to-do list too, but then I also each day put about three because I can manage three of those to-dos. So I'll have an ongoing one on my phone, and then I have a physical planner and I put three of those on there, like for each day. Then if I don't get one finished, I moved it to the next. So I even have a bullet point that says move any unfinished tasks to tomorrow. Move that over to the next day.
Cool.
I try to set myself up for success in the morning. So I start the dishes right after dinner. I make sure all the laundry's put away, like off the couch, because that's kind of where it hangs out until it moves into the dressers and stuff. And then I try to do a quick tidy before we go to bed. Like any toys that have come out after dinner go where they need to go. Kitchen gets tidied, all the dishes are off out of my way, and like pans for the morning's breakfast are out and ready to go. And that helps me not feel frazzled when I get up. I'm the opposite. I absolutely love mornings, but not the mornings where my kitchen is dirty.
That's what I was like. Yes. Like if I wake up.
To the point where I am like my day.
Ruin the day.
My quiet time will with a little more like, Lord, help.
Yeah.
But I have to wake. I love waking up to a tidy looking area, even if things are in little piles because I didn't get to it. So that's one of my biggest things, second to like quiet time with the Lord or unquiet time with the Lord, whatever it looks like.
Noisy time
with the Lord. Yeah.
Mine is to get ready like you're going to work. So get up and get dressed. Mm-hmm. Don't stay in your PJs all day.
Yeah.
Don't just hang around and have a slothful morning. Lazy mornings are nice on occasion, but if you're looking to be productive in your home, if you get up, and one thing that I do the evening before, and the kids do this, and this is every single night now, we all lay out our clothes the next day. And that might be something for me like jeans and a sweatshirt. Okay, but they're done. It's laid out. I don't have to make any decisions in the morning. If I have a toddler that's sleeping in my bed when I need to get up, my clothes are already ready. I'm not pulling open drawers or opening a closet. So get up, get dressed. If you don't have a child in bed, make your bed. Because even just having one simple thing done where you can look at and say, okay, I've accomplished something that looks really nice, as you go ahead and go about the rest of your day, is really helpful, because you can set making your bed is something where you can see change immediately. Mm-hmm. You can look to your bed and be like, okay,
I did it.
Mm-hmm. It's done. And it's simple. It takes 2 seconds. But get up, get dressed, make your bed.
Train your family that home is a place of work and rest. Mm. That home is not a place where we just come home and veg out, but it's primarily a place that we come home and do work and be productive, that we want our household to be productive. And that one day of the week, we get to rest and stop doing the work and just enjoy resting and enjoy being here. But primarily, we are working here. So that means training them to be working there, even from a really young age. So if you're having an issue with the toilets being really dirty a lot, I don't know whose family with boys would have that problem. But train the boys then to clean the toilet. Because guess what? If they got to do it again next week, their aim is a little bit better. So train the children to be workers at home too.
And train them to pick up after themselves. Yes. So I don't really like evening tidy for us. We always put our whole house to sleep. Like a lot of people talk about putting their kitchen to sleep. We put our whole house to sleep, which means I don't want to see anything outside of its home, just like running around. So my kids know where everything goes and they can pick up after themselves. I don't do jobs for them. If they left a closet door open, if they left a basement door open, if they left the toothpaste out, if their, you know, socks are on the floor, I just kindly keep reminding them, and eventually it becomes a good habit that they just do it on their own. I'm not a pest about it as much as I try not to be. There's certain ones that I'm like, shut the basement door, but most of the time I'm like, hey, please go put the toothpaste lid on the toothpaste. And then I've started doing looping schedules too, so I don't have like Monday I clean the bathrooms, Tuesday I clean the floors. Instead, I have on my looping schedule, I have clean floors, I have dust and wipe down windows, I have clean bathrooms, and then what's my other one? Oh, I have laundry. So I have four things that I do to kind of more like clean, deep clean, rather than just picking up your house every night, and I loop them. So that I've got that from the Teaching from Rest book. Great book, check it out. But I, instead of having a day, I would get behind because then like Monday would end up being crazy and wrecked or something, you know? So instead it's like, oh, last time I did laundry, this time that means bathrooms is after that. However, I have that looped, if that's making sense. So you have it in a list and you just do one after the other. It doesn't matter what day. So you're never getting behind.
Piggyback off what you both just said, I think it's important too, as a mom, and I'm learning this as a younger mom too, well, not that I'm young, but my child is young, to involve her as much as possible. She'll be three in a couple months, and she is so helpful. I mean, yes, it things do go a little bit slower at times, but she is so helpful and she enjoys being helpful. And I think it kind of helped me a lot when I realized like she's not hindering me. Because my job is to train her up in the way she should go. And part of that is my hope for her is one day she can be a wife and a mother and she can know the joy of that. And if I have taught her nothing of how to do anything because it's faster for me to do it myself, then I will have done her a great disservice. And so bringing her in to the joy of managing a home at a really young age has been really fun to see because she takes ownership. She's the utensil girl. So she wants to do put all that away. She loves doing laundry. And that is a sweet thing to do with your children, to bring them into that. And one thing that's kind of unrelated, one of my big productivity things that's helped me a lot is going outside as early as we possibly can. Doing a walk with Audrey. If Ben's home, if it's a weekend, we do it together as a family. We jump on the trampoline. We go do something, we hang out by the pond, just spending 30 to 45 minutes or even 15 if it's about to rain or whatever helps your mood. It improves your stamina for the day. It sets the tone for the day. I read a quote a few weeks ago that said, there's no bad weather, only unsuitable clothing. And it's true. I mean, I've really pushed us this winter to be outside as much as possible. In the morning, especially. It's good for Audrey. It's good for myself. And it helps me to come in and then be productive. I've had fresh air. I've had sun on my face some days, not so much this winter, but and you can convene so easily with the Lord outside too, because you're in his creation. It's beautiful and we're meant to be outside. So if you feel like you need a little motivation, maybe just put on some boots if it's winter time, if you go outside and breathe that fresh air and just ask the Lord to be renewed.
Yeah.
And I think that helps a lot. Helps with my attitude.
A lot of my tips have been shared. So
okay.
I'm glad that we're all like-minded. That's cool. But the last one that I have is to take good care of your body and your mind by being careful what comes into it, not letting your brain just rot on things that it doesn't need to be focused on, and taking good care of your body by staying hydrated, eating good foods, because your body is an instrument and a tool. And if you are not in a healthy space, then it's going to be really hard to be productive in your home if you feel really awful.
That's a great tip. Because if you are low energy all the time, address that.
Yeah, figure out what's going on.
It's not normal to be low energy all the time. So it could help you be productive a lot if you feel well. Mine is always be evaluating what you're doing, because there might be a system that might work a little bit better for you. Yeah. So be talking to other sisters in Christ and ask them questions like, do you have a laundry system? I was just talking to my sister-in-law this week about her laundry system. So nerd out on things like that. Like, if you want to get on a cleaning schedule or a looping schedule or whatever, like, think about those kind of systems and what would work best for you. And then always be evaluating, how could I do this better? And then another one that I have is, if you have big projects, schedule them. My mother-in-law does this. Schedule. Like, I'm going to tackle the toy closet next Thursday at 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. That's the time my husband gets home. I've worked it out. There's a crockpot meal, blah, blah, blah. You know, so schedule out those big projects so that they are eventually getting done. And it helps you not be frustrated when you see them again, because you're like, I know I'm going to get to it this day. Mm-hmm. And this week.
Yeah, we do that too, Jordan. Actually, today is we scheduled out the putting the girls' room together, because we have to get a triple bunk bed to fit three girls in a tiny room. I also scheduled the podcast and somehow missed that one. So thankfully, these girls reminded me that I needed to hop on the podcast today. But along with that is every week, we typically do it on Sunday evenings, but sometimes we'll do it on like Saturday evening. Me and my husband, every single week, we never miss this. If we do miss it, we catch up on Monday. We go through weekly questions and calendar planning. So we both put things on our schedule, like put the girls' room together, go over who we're hosting, when he's working at the church, if he has any trips, what I plan to be doing. We have it all like color coordinated on our shared Google calendars so we can both see it on our phones. And then while we're going over our planning, once that's done, we go over three questions. How's your mind, body, and spirit? And we started that when my health issues started, because I am low energy pretty much all the time. It's rare that I get a day that I'm high energy. So body, mind, spirit, he tells me how his is. I tell him how mine is. And then we're able to pray for each other then and throughout the week. And the Lord is super gracious. And since we've been doing that, I, in body, mind, and spirit, feel way healthier. So every single week, we don't miss that. If we do, we can see ourselves like slipping. Plus, we're really busy people. And, you know, I can see where some people be like, well, I don't really need a Google Calendar because we kind of know what we're doing. But, you know, if you're very busy, and hopefully busy with the right things, busy household, having that calendar synced up is awesome. Because then if you're not talking to each other too, I can see when he puts something on, he can see when I put something on.
I think that's so sweet too, because it is a very tangible way to feel a husband's care for you. Because most husbands, hopefully, Lord willing, do care about their wives, especially if they're Christian husbands. But that's a way that you guys are both verbalizing to each other, actually, like that you are caring and praying for each other and getting to hear if you're not doing okay. So I love that tip. That's really cool. My last one is be a noticer. It's very easy to go through life being self-focused and not noticing what needs to be done around you, but instead turn your gaze outward to the people and the things around you that need to be done. Ask the Lord to give you eyes to see those things and ask His Spirit to help you to accomplish what needs to be done. So don't go about your productivity in the home without the Lord's help. One, dedicate your work to the Lord. This is all for Him. Hopefully all that you're doing is for Him and not for any vain reasons. But dedicate what you're doing to the Lord and ask His Spirit to help you to do what needs to be done in the right way with the right heart. Anything else? Okay. All right. Next time. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead one more.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
One more. It kind of went along with Becky's. I kind of get dressed and treat my day kind of like I'm getting ready for a job too or leaving the house. But that doesn't necessarily mean I look super nice every day. But I do always wear shoes for two reasons. I have bad veins. And so wearing tennis shoes or like Birkenstocks or Chacos help me and help my legs. But also I don't sit as much. I only sit when needed. And kind of like Becky too. You know, if you're dressed, if you're in your PJs, it's just more tempting to sit and lounge if you don't have shoes on too, which if you're a no shoes house, you can veto my tip, but
VT.
I like
it. Ciara, well, we're kind of a half and half. So Brandon wears his work boots wherever he would like to wear work boots, but I don't like having shoes in our house just because my brain goes
a lot all cleaning to be done.
Yes, and my brain goes to where all that dirt was. It's now on my floor, and my baby's eating off of the floor sometimes, not because that's where I feed her, but because that's what she decides to do, you know. So I have slippers that have like the hard plastic bottom on them, and they're my house slippers. So they're like,
oh, see, those make my legs
your house shoes.
My house, my gosh, revolutionary.
We should patent that.
They're not. House feet are terrible. Your house bad feet and legs.
But yeah, those are, I always have those on. And now I didn't realize at first that I was always doing that. Like it was just part of my, even like when I'm wearing jeans, still have my little house shoes on, you know. And I didn't realize how often I was doing that until Jim started bringing me my slippers to be like, Mommy, you forgot to put these on. I thought, oh, I guess I have been doing that every day. But a nice tip is if you have a lot of traffic in your home like we do, you get crumbs all over your floor. Like I can sweep my floor and then 5 seconds later, it looked like I didn't sweep my floor and my feet are really bothered. Like I get really stressed and just
my feet are
kind of irritated if I'm stepping on dirt. Mm-hmm. But it's also not realistic or wise for me to be vacuuming my house the entire day. Mm-hmm. And so then my feet just don't feel the crumbs.
They're less of it.
They're less of a problem.
I am always barefoot and in the kitchen and often pregnant. So, but yeah, I'm just always barefoot. Okay. So next time we will do an episode on rest. So until then, hopefully we'll get it out in 1 week's time. But we will be being productive in our homes, and hopefully you take one day of rest in there too until you hear why. But you know, the Sabbath, the Lord made it and you should do it anyways. But next time we will flesh that all out. So until next time, thanks for listening. Thanks, Bree.
You're welcome.
Sorry, thank we went you, over Brie. By 20 minutes on your time that you
it's
needed
okay to it's okay. The kids were being good. I can still hear Mason putting together the bunk bed, so
okay. All right. Well, send us pictures.
I was just going to say, send us a picture because I want to see what a triple bunk bed looks like.
Me too.
I'm very curious.
Well, I'm curious as well because I couldn't find any bunk beds with reviews, which kind of scared me. So I'll let you girls know how it goes.
We have triple bunk beds in our future as well. So I want to see what you pick. Okay. Right. See you later.
Well, I'll keep you posted.
Okay. See
you
guys. Bye, Bree. This is what I hit, right?
I don't know.
Hey, everyone, we want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups, for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.